This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. I'm delighted to say today we're joined by Jeff Halley, Oanda senior market analyst for Asia Pacific. Good morning from London, Jeff. How are you doing?
Good afternoon from Asia, as ever. Wonderful to be here.
Great to have you on again. Let's talk about the markets where you are first and some big falls today.
Yeah, look, it's been a pretty negative start for Asia. We had a bit of a soft close in the United States after the non-farm payroll data on Friday, and the US yield curve shifted higher, and US 10-year bonds closed around 3.15%. So they've well and truly now moved above their 40-year downtrend line, which came in at around 3%. So I think that's quite significant. Unsurprisingly, that's led to more dollar strength today, and Asian equities have fallen. Now, apart from higher US interest rates, what's really weighing on markets across Asia today is a couple of things. The first one is China's slowdown. So we've seen over the weekend restrictions, virus restrictions tightened, notably in Beijing, and been reimposed in Shanghai. So the narrative around the China slowdown is accelerating once again. The trade data today was so-so, I would say, nothing to write home about. It does show that imports were easing, which is another reinforcement of that narrative. Over the weekend, we also saw a China property company's a building site owned by them in Manhattan in the United States get seized by banks as well. So coming on the back of a massive fall in housing sales last week over the holiday period, we've seen yet more negativity come surrounding China itself, and this property developer leverage story making its way back to the front pages as well. It's seen Asian markets generally lower today. The Nikkei has fallen 2.5%. South Korea's Kospi is down 1.3%. Taiwan's had a tough day. Hong Kong has had a tough day. It's down 4%. Another background story there is US-listed China stocks delisting concerns over their lack of quantifiable audits by US authorities. That story is still circulating this morning as well. Australian market's also taken a hit, down around 1.5%. In all likelihood, that sets up Europe for a bit of a rough day as well after a pretty ugly Friday session. We also have the Russia victory parades today, and the concerns that will be running around in Europe will be whether Vladimir Putin decides to declare an official war on Ukraine instead of a special operation, as he calls it, and that will be another negative for European stocks if that occurs.
We also saw the value of Bitcoin continue to fall over the weekend. It dropped below $34,000. It's the world's largest cryptocurrency. It's fallen by 50% since its peak in November last year. This is a general thing, the slide in the value of digital assets right across the board now. And what is the reason behind these big falls for Bitcoin and the rest of the cryptocurrency market?
I think that they're struggling in the face of higher US interest rates, like equity markets are. They do have quite a high correlation to the NASDAQ. Now, correlations come and they go, but certainly the NASDAQ has been most under pressure out of the major exchanges, even more so than the Russell 2000, because equity markets or equities in the NASDAQ, mostly big tech companies, are so highly valued. And if this Fed hiking cycle raises the cost of capital, which it does, and if it slows down earnings growth by slowing the economy in the future, those pricing mechanisms will come under pressure. So actually, I must say Bitcoin itself has quite badly underperformed, particularly because it's been touted in the past as a safe haven asset. Now, when you look at it compared to gold, it has severely underperformed. Gold's still holding its own around $1,850 US an ounce. But as you said, Bitcoin in that period has fallen over 50%. On the technical charts, I was noting last week that there was a big triangle formation, and the bottom of that triangle came in at just above 37,000. Now, that support line goes back over a year, and it's actually broken over the weekend. as you mentioned. I mean, Bitcoin does trade over the weekends like other cryptos. So Bitcoin fell over 4% yesterday, for example. But once it broke that support line at 37,000, it has traded, as you said, lower quite quickly. The next support area for Bitcoin is around the 33,000 level. Now, the technical picture to me, as I interpret it right now, is that if 33,000 goes, then we're up for a move towards the 20,000 mark. I'm not calling that yet because it hasn't broken. And also on the short-term technicals, it is oversold. So there is room for a short-term relief rally. But it's certainly, as long as I think stock markets continue in this bearish trajectory, I think Bitcoin is also going to struggle.
Okay, Jeff, last week was a crazy week. It looks to be a little bit quieter over the next few days. What should we look out for?
Yeah, look, it's mostly CPIs, inflation measures this week. So we have China CPI on Wednesday. And again, if that comes in on the soft side, then that will push the stimulus narrative even more. And I think there are downside risks to it. Conversely, we have India's inflation data out on Thursday. Now, what does India matter? Apart from being the second largest population in the world, last week the Reserve Bank of India made an unscheduled rate hike of 0.4% and started climbing down off the fence over their nerves around higher inflation. So if we see inflation well above 7% this Thursday from India, that could spur faster and more aggressive action from the Reserve Bank of India. And I think what's significant here is that if India, amongst the emerging markets, is starting to climb down off the fence on inflation, then we may see other big emerging markets doing the same thing. That could mean some catch-up rate hikes could be on the cards in the second or the third quarter of this year. We also have inflation measures from the US and most of the European heavyweights from Western Europe over the course of this week as well. But I think markets will be driven by sentiment, and we're also out of the Fed press lockup, so we have an absolute ocean of Fed speakers this week as well, which are usually good for some short-term volatility.
Jeff, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Have a great week.
Thanks, Johnny.
This is the Oanda Podcast.